Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church. And we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Privilege, and I'm so thankful that we don't do it on our own. We have the Holy Spirit. And so I'm looking forward to what the Holy Spirit Himself will teach us as we look together at the book of Proverbs. As you know, over the past couple weeks, we've been studying Proverbs, and we take a break every once in a while from our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Luke, and this has actually been a pretty long break. But Proverbs is just so helpful, I think, practically, in giving us some direction for some of the big issues of life that we face. And so we've been talking about stuff like purity from Proverbs, and money and self-control and parenting. And I didn't want us to get out of the book of Proverbs without talking about another big issue that we all face, and that is fear. And specifically, the fear of man. This isn't the biggest issue in the book of Proverbs, but it is a major issue in life. And I think Proverbs has something very important to say. And so I want us to look at what it has to say about the fear of man. But of course, you know how I am. And it's really hard for me to talk about anything specific like the fear of man without actually stepping back first and talking a little bit more generally about fear itself. Because I don't think we can really deal with a more specific problem like the fear of man until we understand the more general problem first. So next week, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25 and talk about the fear of man and why it's a problem. And in the weeks after that, we're going to look at the solution. But today, we're not going to just look at one text. We're actually going to look at a number of different texts in the Bible, a lot of Bible verses, and make sure that we understand what the Bible teaches about fear. Because honestly, I think a lot of us have a fear problem. And not just us generally. I have had a fear problem in my life, I know. And what's worse, it's possible to have a problem with fear, a very real fear problem, without actually fully realizing it. I know that sounds weird, but we're so used to fear, I think. It just seems so normal in the world that we live. People are scared. Most people that we know have a lot of fear, and their life is basically controlled by fear. If you look at many of the decisions that they make on a daily basis, they are driven by fear. That's how they're living their lives, in fear. And it just seems so normal to them and to us that sometimes we have a problem with fear and we don't even realize that we have a problem with fear. And so I want us to go back to the Bible and think, just from the ground up, what does the Bible teach about fear specifically? That's the question. What is fear? Now, one reason I think that's an important question is because it's obviously pretty hard to solve a problem without knowing what the problem is. I remember when I turned 25, which is a lot of years ago now, unbelievably, it went quick. But the day I turned 25, I got seriously sick. Like, I had never been sick before, and I never want to be sick like that again. And yet the biggest problem of all, even bigger than being sick, I think, was that I didn't know what the sickness was exactly. I just knew that I was sick. And so I went to the doctor, and he pretended like he knew, and yet it turns out he didn't really know either, and so he just prescribed me medicine, which made me worse, actually. And so after a number of really frustrating trips to different doctors, one of them finally decided to do a blood test and figured out why I was sick. And while that didn't make me better right away, you know what it did? It gave me hope. Because I know, we all know, that the first step to getting better is figuring out what's wrong. which is not just true physically, it's true spiritually as well. It's hard to solve a problem, any problem, without understanding what the problem is first. Which means, if you haven't thought carefully about what the Bible says about this problem of fear, you're not really going to understand its solution either. You need to know what you're up against. What exactly is fear? Now I know maybe again that doesn't seem like one of those questions that we actually have to answer. It sort of sounds funny, like, what is fear? Because we know when we're afraid, right? So why should we define it? But we need to define it because if we look a little more carefully at fear, you see that not all our fears are actually all the same. In fact, in the Bible, there are almost as many different fears as there are people. Like Adam, if you go all the way back to the beginning, Adam was afraid of God. And yet in pretty much the next chapter, you find Cain, and he was more afraid just of physical harm than he was of God. And if we keep going, there was Jacob. And Jacob was afraid of losing his life. And in the next book, there's Moses. And Moses was afraid of leadership. And Job, who lived around the same time as Abraham, he was frightened by bad dreams. And fast forward to Saul. Saul was afraid of David's popularity. And Samuel was afraid of telling bad news to Eli. And in the New Testament, we have Peter. And Peter feared people's opinions. And Timothy later feared persecution. There's a lot of fear in the Bible. And there's a lot of different kinds of fear. They're not all the same. But you know, I think actually if we take all the different fears that we find in the Bible and look a little more closely, we can divide all of those specific fears into three major categories. There are three main kinds of fear in the Bible. First, the Bible talks about natural fear. That's the first major category, natural fear. A kind of emotion, I guess you could say, that's not really in and of itself right or wrong. And that might not be a category you're familiar with, so let me try to help you see where I get that. And we can start with something that's pretty obvious right away. When you open up the Bible to study what it says about fear, one of the things that stands out is that the Bible speaks about fear differently in different places. So like, for example, there are times where you're reading your Bible and God commands you not to fear. And we know those times very well because that's like the number one command in the Bible, actually. Do not fear. But there are also just as many times, almost, where you're reading and God commands you to fear. And sometimes, you know, those two commands are back to back, basically. Like, for example, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. You see that Peter tells wives that they ought to have behavior that is marked by chastity or purity and fear. The word respectful in the English Standard Version is actually the word fear. Wives are supposed to fear. And yet, if you look down at verse 6, you see, Peter also goes on and says that we should do what's right without having any fear. You are Sarah's children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So in the same passage, just four verses, it is fear, but don't fear. And that's actually all over the Bible. In Hebrews 13:6, we're told, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, because God is with us, because of our relationship with God, we don't need to fear. But you know, then back in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we've been studying the book of Proverbs, so we know this well. We're told that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So it's do not be afraid because of your relationship with God. But at the same time, be afraid because of God. And while I know that probably sounds obvious to us because we've been reading the Bible for a long time, we're used to it, fear, don't fear, but it actually is pretty significant when it comes to understanding what the Bible teaches about fear, because it means, obviously, that our goal is not to become fearless. It's not good biblically to be completely fearless? It can't be, because God commands us to fear, right? Which means there are times when we should fear, and there are things we should fear. Which means, you know, if God wants there to be fear in your life, if we're not supposed to be completely fearless, then obviously fear in and of itself is not intrinsically evil. It can be good, it can be bad. Which is different than, like, say, adultery. You know what I mean? Because you don't find times in the Bible where God commands us to commit adultery, and then other times when He commands us not to commit adultery. It's just, don't commit adultery. Or murder. There aren't times where God says murder, and then, hey, wait, don't murder. Because murder and adultery are always wrong. But clearly, fear isn't. Which is why God commands us to fear. It's why He can command us to fear. Because fear isn't always, in and of itself, sinful. There's a natural fear that's not really right or wrong, actually. It's just part of being human. And that natural emotion can become sinful, or it can be holy. It's kind of like desire, maybe. Wanting. Desiring. Desiring isn't, in and of itself, bad. God made us to want. We're like wanting machines, actually. But what we want and how we want can either be good or bad, like fear, in fact. If you go over to Psalm chapter 9, verse 20, I think we see an example of this natural fear that I'm talking about. Because you see, David explains in Psalm chapter 9, verse 20. He says, "Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men." And you kind of need to look down at this verse, because I want you to see something that has to do with the way Hebrews wrote poetry. When we write poetry, we normally, like, rhyme. That's how we make poems. But the Hebrews did something different. They wrote two lines that were similar, one after another. And that's their poetry. And we see that here in Psalm 9:20. The first line in this verse and the second line are parallel. In other words, they explain one another. So David is asking God what first in verse 20? He says, "Put them in fear, O Lord." And what does that mean? The next line tells us. It's the second part of the verse, which explains the first. "Put them in fear. Let the nations know that they are but men." It's like if David was looking out at the world, people were delusional, they were proud, and they had forgotten their weaknesses, and so they weren't becoming afraid when they should have been. And if they didn't have such a distorted view of themselves, David knew they would experience fear, because, in one sense, fear is just part of being human. It's just realizing you're not God. It's an acknowledgement that you are a human being, that you are not in control of everything, that there are some things greater than you. And so there's a type of fear, I'm saying, that is just part of being a creature and not being the creator, really. In fact, maybe if what I'm saying isn't clicking yet, there are two words that can help us understand this natural fear better. And the first word is prudence. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3. You see, it says, "The prudent man sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it." And what's happening there? Someone sees something bad ahead, and so he takes action to protect himself. You could call that prudent, or you could call that actually natural fear. Natural fear is seeing the evil. It's seeing the danger that is ahead, anticipating, being energized through your emotions, being energized to take steps to protect yourself from that danger. That's part of what God gave us natural fear for. It's to help protect us. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 25, you see that Isaiah used the term in this sense, the term fear. He says, "And as for all the hills that used to be cultivated, and with a hoe, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns." And as you look at that, how does he use the word fear? Was Isaiah saying, you won't go there because you're terrified by briars and thorns? Like, I won't go there, I'm so scared of thorns. Thorns aren't really something that most people put on a list of things they're frightened of. They just don't like them. They know that they hurt. And so obviously, Isaiah is saying, you won't want to go to a certain place because you know if you go there, it's going to be painful because of the briars and thorns. And that's natural fear. A couple years ago, I went, a long time ago now, I went on a camping trip with a youth group. And the students were all excited about doing something called rappelling. I don't know what we call that here. That's not floopy slide. That's a zip line in America. Floopy slide is one of my favorite words. I can't even believe that's a word, floopy slide. But rappelling, where you go backwards down a cliff. And you have this rope and you sort of fall backwards down the mountain hanging onto it. And I am not a big fan of heights at all. So, you know, I wasn't very excited. But they kept trying to get me to go along, the students, of course. And they were trying to get me to go along by saying, you know what, you just got to overcome your fear. And that argument didn't make sense to me at all, because there's nothing wrong with being afraid of falling off a cliff backwards. You should be afraid of that. That's not a fear that I want to overcome. I never want to get to the point in my life where I'm not afraid of falling off a cliff backwards. That's a natural fear. That's just being prudent. Like, if you see a lion running at you, it is not holy not to be scared. Like, okay, you're a Christian, so when a lion is running at you and wants to eat you, you should stand there and be like, oh, how are you? It's not like Christians are supposed to not notice danger. We feel those natural fears. And those natural fears are just part of being human, and should cause us to make wise choices as a result. If you want proof that part of being human is experiencing natural fear, and that natural fear isn't in and of itself sinful, Jesus. Jesus actually experienced this kind of natural fear. If you look over at Mark chapter 14, verses 32 and 33, you'll see it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John. And Mark said, and listen to this, he began to get very distressed and troubled. And you know what that term distress literally means? It literally means to be alarmed, to be astounded, to be greatly disturbed. In fact, one Greek dictionary defines the word to throw into terror, to be struck with terror. And so what's happening is, as Jesus is looking forward to the cross, he felt a natural kind of fear. He was distressed, he was alarmed thoroughly. And since we know Jesus was sinful, this fear couldn't be sinful. It was just a natural human reaction when considering a dangerous, difficult situation. It's that prudence we're talking about. Looking ahead, seeing the danger, and feeling a sense of energy that enables you to deal with the danger. A second term, besides prudence, that helps us understand natural fear is the word awe. The word fear is often translated awe or respect throughout Scripture. Respect is a kind of fear. It's a kind of natural fear. There are people that deserve respect. And the greater the person, the more respect they deserve. And sometimes the person that we're talking about is so great, that respect explodes into full-blown awe. And this is actually part of how God designed the world to work, if you think about it. He's put the world together so that there are authorities over us, and it's natural and it's right for us to respect and revere these authorities, like government. And something's wrong if we don't. So children, for example, are commanded to fear their parents. And employees are told to fear their masters. And citizens are told to fear the government. And we're all commanded to fear God. And God has given us this kind of natural fear, respect for authority, to help the world work better. It keeps us safe, you know. For example, the fact that people are afraid of police, that can be a good thing. Paul in Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, says that God established the government to produce fear in those who do wrong. He says, if you do what is evil, be afraid, for the government does not bear the sword for nothing, for it's a minister of God. And so if someone's afraid because he's committed a crime, and he doesn't want to get caught, the crime was wrong, but that fear is natural and right. It wasn't right for him to do the wrong thing, but the fear is right, because God says, if you do wrong, you should be afraid. In other words, something is wrong with you if you're not afraid in that situation. If you have no respect for the authorities that God has placed in your life, something's warped in your heart. And if you think about it, we'd be in a lot of danger if people lost this natural fear. Because there's a lot of sin that people don't do because they're afraid of the consequences. And it's good that they're scared. Like, it's good that most people are afraid of going to prison, because if not, there'd be a lot more crime. And so to lack this natural fear or reverence for authorities is not a sign of courage or godliness, but pride. There are things in this world that are greater than you. There are people that are in more important positions of authority than you, and it's right for you to have a reverence for them. In fact, over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, you see false teachers. One of the ways false teachers prove how unrighteous they are is that they despise authority. Peter writes, daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they slander angelic majesties. And the point is that false teachers are so messed up that even though obviously angels are more powerful than human beings, they have no respect for that authority. Instead, they despise them and prove they despise them by not being afraid when they say bad things about them. And so I'm saying Peter assumes that it's natural. It's right to fear beings who are so much more powerful than you, like angels, but these men are so full of pride they don't, which means something's wrong. There's a natural kind of fear that's part of being human. That's good for us because it keeps us safe from physical harm. It helps the world not go out of control, and it helps us avoid sin as well. Like, sometimes God uses this kind of natural fear to stop us from doing the wrong thing. Like in Acts chapter 5, you remember Ananias and Sapphira? What happened to them? They dropped dead. They lied and they dropped dead in front of the whole church. And you know how people responded who saw that? They were afraid, obviously. Luke says, Acts 6:11, great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. And that fear was good. I mean, they should have been afraid. It wasn't sinful for them to be fearful in that moment. It was right. And sometimes it's this fear, this surprise, this awe that actually causes people to slow down and think about their relationship with God. Like later in Acts, we read that God enabled Paul to perform some extraordinary miracles. And Luke says that unbelievers saw that and they responded with fear. Fear fell upon them all, Acts chapter 19, 11. And the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. And clearly the fear that those unbelievers were experiencing in that moment was not wrong in and of itself. Otherwise, Luke wouldn't have written in the same sentence, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. Something awesome was happening, and God used it to produce fear in people, which drew their attention to Jesus. I'm saying, what is fear? The Bible's so deep, you know? I love it. Some of us, we want to go to the world for help with our problems, but it's because we haven't looked at the Bible. The Bible's not simple. Pay attention. You struggle with fear. And if you're going to overcome fear, you need to know. You're going to come to me for counseling about fear, and I'm going to say, please, have listened to this message. The Bible's not simple. The Bible's deep, and the Bible says, look, there is a natural fear that is a God-given kind of emotion. And in and of itself, it's not really right or wrong. It's just this emotion that God implanted in all of us, which is supposed to help us not get hurt and not hurt each other, not sin, and even pay attention to Him. But the problem is, of course, we're sinners, we're broken. And so what happens is our sinful nature takes this good, helpful emotion and it twists it, it perverts it, it distorts it into something awful, which is no longer productive, but is paralyzing, and no longer natural, but sinful. And that's the second kind of fear. the Bible talks about. Second category, number two, sinful fear. I mean, it's important. What I'm saying is it's important to understand when God commands you not to fear, He's not saying you're supposed to get rid of all natural fear. If that's your expectation, I'm supposed to get to this point as a Christian where I never experience the emotion of fear. That's not even appropriate. That's weird. And it's definitely not biblical courage. For sure. To be able to see the danger ahead, or to lose a sense, to lose the ability to see the danger ahead, to lose a sense of respect and awe, is not good for us. Instead, what God's saying when He says, don't be afraid, He's saying, you must not let this natural fear become sinful fear. That's God's concern. We're going to experience natural fear, of course, but natural fear can go the wrong way, and it can become sinful. And so we have to stop and think, when does fear go bad? What is sinful fear? How can I identify if this natural fear has become something that is actually going to destroy me and destroy the people around me? And the Bible helps us with that. First, fear becomes sinful when it keeps you from obeying God's commands. Fear becomes sinful when it stops you from doing what God wants you to do. And I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? If God commands you to do something and you say no because you're afraid, that's obviously not holy fear. That's not the reason God gave you this emotion. If you look at the root meaning of the Greek word for fear, it's phobo. That's the root, like phobia. And it means flight. Basically, the root of fear means flight, which is appropriate because fear often causes you to run. It causes you to run away from things that frighten you, which can be good or it can be bad. If fear causes you to run away from the things God's commanded you to do. So an example, 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul's talking to Timothy. And he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And fear here is the opposite of what? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of... There's three of you that are following. So, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. So, fear here is weakness. And what is this weakness? Verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there so you can see what the weakness is. The weakness is not using your gifts. Actually, it's being ashamed of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. And Paul's saying, look, Christians are not to be characterized by the spirit of fear. And what does this fear look like in action? Weakness. And what is weakness? It's not obeying God's commands and fulfilling your responsibilities, which is what sinful fear does. That's what I'm saying. It stops you from doing what you should. Like sometimes, even though you have abilities that people need, it's obvious, God gave you those gifts for others. But you don't use those abilities because you're scared. Like I remember, I almost didn't become a pastor because I was so afraid of speaking in front of people. And that would have been sinful fear. Whenever fear keeps you from using the gifts God has given you, you are sinning. And I know we come up with all sorts of excuses sometimes, and we even feel justified in not doing something that God's called you to do, called us to do because we're frightened. It's like Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, you remember God tells Moses he's supposed to rescue Israel. Moses says what? Who am I? Like he's still humble. And so God answers, and Moses says, well, okay, but who am I going to tell them sent me? Like he's so concerned for others. And God answers, but Moses keeps going. But what if they don't believe me? And God answers. And Moses looks for another way out. But I'm not eloquent and I'm not a good speaker. Like, God, I really want what's best for you. And I'm just not the best guy for the job. And God responds until Moses has nothing left. And he just begs God, send someone else. And you know, we're so hard on Moses, but at first, reading that story, you really can understand Moses' fear because he had tried before to rescue Israel, and it didn't go well. And he was old at that point. He was like 80. He had been a shepherd for 40 years, and he was just this one individual. And yet God was going and telling him to command one of the most powerful men in the world to do something that he didn't want to do. And so we can understand why Moses might have been afraid. But you know what? God didn't understand. From God's perspective, Moses' response wasn't understandable at all. It was sin. In fact, the Bible says, the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And you know, the reason Moses' fear was sinful was because it was stopping him from stepping out in faith and obedience to God and causing him to argue with God instead, which is what sinful fear does. You can mark it down. Whenever fear causes you to start arguing with God or to make excuses about doing what you know God wants you to do, it's sin. It's not natural any longer. That natural fear has gotten distorted and become sinful fear. Second, fear is sinful when it causes you to disobey God's commands. Either fear stops you from doing the right thing, or fear causes you to do the wrong thing. Fear is powerful. And sometimes fear can cause you to do things you would never do otherwise. Which is obviously why people make threats, right? Because they know threats have the power of fear. And so if they can make other people afraid, they know they can have great power over them. It's like the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who was supposed to build a wall for God, and these enemies didn't want Nehemiah to build the wall for God, and so you know what these enemies did? They wrote threats. They sent him a letter, and when one of Nehemiah's friends read the letter, they said, Nehemiah, let's run. Let's go into the temple. Let's close the door. Let's hide so we can be safe and protected from these threats. Fear tempted him to compromise, but Nehemiah thought about the situation and perceived this was not from God, and so he said, I'm not going to become frightened and sin. And what I'm wanting you to see is, why did this man threaten Nehemiah? He threatened Nehemiah because he thought fear could get him to sin. He knew the nature of fear. He knew that fear can have a powerful effect on a person and cause him to do things he never would do. But he was wrong about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was too godly to let sinful fear control him, but a lot of other men in Scripture weren't. Like, you remember Isaac? Who at one point was going around telling everybody his wife was really his sister. And can you imagine doing that? Why would you ever do that? Fear. And eventually the king saw Isaac and Rebekah acting a little bit more like a husband and wife than a brother and sister. So he confronted them and said, she's your wife. Why did you say she was your sister? And Isaac's like, I thought someone might kill me. That's why. I was scared. And so fear caused him to do something crazy. He was willing to allow his wife, whom he loved, to marry someone else because of fear. Fear can make you do crazy things. It causes people to lie. That's sinful fear. To cheat, sinful fear. To steal, sinful fear. To fight. All evidence of fear gone bad. Third, fear is sinful when it causes you to think and act selfishly. If this natural emotion turns you in on yourself and gets you all focused on yourself and stops you from thinking of others, it's fear gone bad. For sure, because the Bible describes fear and love as opposites. Sinful fear and love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Biblical love overcomes sinful fear, because biblical love is thinking about others first, and so it puts the interests of others above its own interests, like Jesus. You know, even though Jesus was distressed as he looked at the cross, he didn't allow that fear or distress to stop him from going to the cross. Perfect love didn't cast out natural fear. Jesus had that. But it did mean that natural fear didn't control him. Why? Because of the great love with which he loved us. Love overcame sinful fear. Paul, he's another example. Paul poured himself out for the church. He was beaten and he kept going. He was thrown into prison. He kept going. Why? Because he liked being beaten? Because he was like the I don't know, Rambo of the early church or something? Like, he just was this guy that didn't mind people throwing rocks at him, and he had some sort of natural courage? No, he probably experienced a natural fear of being thrown into prison or being stoned. But Paul loved God, and he loved the church. And that love kept natural fear from turning him in on himself. Love produces courage. But selfishness does the opposite. It causes you to put your interests above the interests of others and act cowardly. As a result, it produces fear. Think about Isaac again. Who was Isaac thinking about when he lied about his wife? Was he thinking about his wife's needs? Was he thinking she might really want to end up married to one of those men? Obviously, no. He was just thinking about himself. And so, you know, when your natural fear causes you to become blind to the needs of others, it's not natural fear anymore. You can be sure it's sinful. Like, it's not wrong to be concerned about your safety, obviously. But it's wrong if you're so concerned about your safety that it stops you from serving others. It's kind of like you meet a man who doesn't want to run into a burning building. There's a building burning down, and you ask him, do you want to run in? And he says, no, I'd rather not run into that burning building. Would you call him a coward? Of course not. Just because he doesn't want to run into a burning building, no. But what if that man is a father whose child is trapped inside that building, and there's no one else there to help rescue the child? If he still chooses his own safety over rescuing his child, you would call him what? A coward. Why? Because he put his interests above the interests of his son or daughter. You see, sin, selfishness, takes advantage of fear. We see the danger. That's normal. But we love ourselves so much that energy causes us to turn in on ourselves. And it's like we get trapped inside our heads. And we use the opportunity to become over-focused on ourselves. It's kind of like speaking in front of people. Is it wrong to be nervous before you speak in front of people? I don't think so. That energy can actually be helpful. But what happens? We use that energy to start wondering what people are thinking. What are they going to say about us? And that natural fear starts becoming something more. It starts to paralyze us. And that's sinful fear. Four, fear is sinful when it springs from thinking unbiblically. A lot of times, if you look at what you're afraid of, it's not real. And if it's not real, it's not biblical fear. God did not give you this emotion of fear to be scared of things that aren't real. So if you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, as an example, let me explain. God tells us, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the way that we're supposed to think. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And so, listen, if fear is causing you to dwell on anything other than the qualities described in this verse, it's sinful fear. And the fact that you're dwelling on those things, if that causes you to disobey, obviously sinful fear. And so often what fear does is it keeps us from thinking on things that are true. As Dr. Tripp was saying last week, many people live in the land of what if. Why are they afraid? It's because they keep thinking, what if? What if they are thinking this? What if they said that? And that fear keeps them from dwelling on things that are actually true. Instead, their fear is motivating them to continually think about things that they have no control over and most likely aren't even real. You know, I've met people, and I'm sure you have, who are expert mind readers. And they are constantly giving people thoughts and intentions that those people never even knew they had. Like, I know why you did that. Or, they're going to think this if I do that. And they're afraid. Not because someone actually did something. Not because someone actually said something, but because they're so proud, they think they know for sure what someone's going to say or do. Are you understanding? There are others who think completely irrationally. So they have one thought, and they run with it, until it doesn't even resemble anything close to reality. They're sitting there, and they have the flu maybe, but they're fine at that moment. They have people who love them. They have friends. They're going to get better. But they're like, I once knew someone who got the flu and they got cancer and they like died 3 weeks later. And so maybe I have cancer. And they're totally worried, even though the moment they're actually in is a pretty good moment. So the next time you're struggling with fear, you have to ask yourself, is this coming from a true thought? Is it coming from a lovely thought? Is it coming from the kind of thoughts that we read about in Philippians chapter 4:8? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And a sound mind is a sensible mind, a mind that's under control, that thinks biblically. One of the best things to do when you're struggling with fear is to get those thoughts outside of your head. Because in your head, they so often seem so rational, and you spend so much time thinking about them and explaining them and rationalizing them, and it helps to have someone that is not in the same situation that you can speak to, and you get the thoughts out of your head and you say, this is what I'm afraid of. And that person's like, is that even real? This is one of the things that helped me overcome to a certain extent being afraid of speaking in front of people. Because I had to say, what is it that I'm actually afraid of? This is many years ago now, but I had to think, what is it that I'm actually afraid of? I'm afraid that a group of people, what? That they're going to go home and say something bad about me. Huh. Does that really line up? Is that possible? It's possible. But is my reaction here, does it line up with what's real? No, because God is for me. I'm justified because of the work of Jesus Christ on my behalf. That's what's real. God, after I stand up here, loves me. God is for me. So if a whole group of people go home and say, oh, he was kind of boring today, is that really something that is so significant that it should cause me to tremble? Of course not. Of course not. Finally, fear is sinful when it stops you from obeying God, when it causes you to disobey God, when it's selfish, when it's not based on truth. And fifth, it's fearful when it flows out of unbelief. You know, when you become afraid, you have to examine what is at the root of your fear. Like, what is causing this? Am I afraid because I won't enjoy chemotherapy? You know, I have cancer, I'm afraid. Am I afraid because I won't enjoy chemotherapy? Or am I afraid because I don't believe God can use painful things like chemotherapy for my good? There's a difference. It's normal to have a kind of natural fear before you have to experience something like chemotherapy. Nobody's asking anybody to all of a sudden say, chemotherapy, woo! Bring it on! Stick the needle in! Feel nothing. That's weird. But often, if we look at our fear, it's not that we're just afraid of chemotherapy. Really, what we're afraid of, what's producing the fear, is that we're afraid God can't use that painful event to accomplish something good. And ultimately, sinful fear is produced by a lack of trust in God. Because many times, when you're scared, if you would just look at the root cause of your fear, you would see that it's more than just an awareness of danger. It's really because you do not believe the promises and character of God. It's the promises and character of God that enable us not to be sinfully afraid when we're naturally afraid. Are you hearing me? I'm in this situation where I experience natural fear. But how am I supposed to not let natural fear become sinful fear? It's the promises and character of God. But those promises are only helpful if you believe them. Take Romans 8 verse 28 as an example. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, which is huge. If the sovereign creator of the universe, who is in charge of everything, promises that He's going to work out all things for your good, then why are you afraid? Most people are not afraid of good things. And so you have to ask yourself, am I fearful because I don't believe God's going to work this all out for my good? Or Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. And if God promises, like He does there, that He'll use your pain for your spiritual good, then what are you afraid of? When you're frightened, ask yourself, are you afraid right now because you do not really believe that your trials and your suffering have a purpose? You see, this is important. If fear is causing us to sin, we usually think the problem is the situation. But no, look, the situation might be producing natural fear. And you might not have that natural fear in another situation, sure, but natural fear is not the same thing as sinful fear. And so if you're sinning as a result of your fear, the problem is not so much the situation as much as it is the fact that you don't believe God. And so when you become frightened, you should examine your fear. Is this natural fear? If it's natural fear, then of course another situation might deal with the problem. But if it's sinful fear, then just changing my circumstances won't help. Because it's not the situation that's producing the sinful fear. It's something wrong in my heart. And if it's something wrong in my heart, I can't solve what's wrong in my heart by just changing the situation, but by going back to the Word of God and looking at promise after promise and crying out to God to help me believe. Because if you're afraid because you don't trust God's promises, it's sin. It's sin. And maybe God is actually allowing that circumstance to come into your life to reveal what you really are putting your trust in. Third. First, there's a natural fear we just accept. It's part of being human. Yet second, we know it can become a sinful kind of fear that we have to reject. And really the only way to overcome that sinful fear is by pursuing a third category of fear, which is holy fear. And I don't want to spend as much time on this kind of fear now, because we've already spent some time in Proverbs and talked about the fear of the Lord. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is the kind of fear that needs to characterize our life, actually. We should be going through life being amazed by God. And because we're amazed by God, we should be going through life fearing sinning. That's what Peter actually tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, if you look at it. He says, if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. In other words, if the one you call Father is the impartial judge of the universe, and if He sent His own Son to die in your place, it makes sense to be afraid of sin. To literally be scared of playing around with things that God hates. You know, as we think about this problem of fear, we usually think about it as, I have too much fear of this or that. But there's another problem with fear, and that's having too little fear. And I think many people have way too little fear of sinning. The problem is not so much that they're afraid. The problem is that they're afraid of the wrong things. Sin is scary. God hates it. The punishment for it is hell. What it does to people, it destroys them. It makes sense to be afraid. We should fear God. We should fear sin. And we should fear God's Word. Godly fear produces a fear of God's Word. I wonder if you ever looked at your Bible and thought, awesome. In fact, in Psalm 119, 161, the psalmist writes, "My heart," he writes, "my heart stands in awe of your words." It's like, whoa, this is God speaking. This is the King talking to me. And so when you read His Word, you should have a proper kind of fear. Not a paralyzing fear, but an awe, a reverence for His Word because of the greatness of the one who spoke it. And this kind of fear produces all kinds of amazing benefits in your life. We often talk about the negative consequences of fear, and there are a lot when fear becomes sinful. But we can also talk about the positive consequences of fear. Fear is powerful. When fear is working the way it should in your life, it helps you know God better. It keeps you from doing stupid things. It helps you listen when God speaks. It actually gives you the courage to obey God. You fear less when you fear more. When you're afraid of the right things, that's when you don't fear the wrong things. Or at least that fear doesn't control you, which is, I think, is something we need to be praying for each other as a church, because this is a frightening world. There are lots of opportunities for natural fear, and there are lots of temptations for that natural fear to become sinful. I know I can think of times in my life when I had way too much of the wrong kind of fear and not enough of the right kind of fear. And I made decisions not based on a fear of God, but based on sinful fear. And I can see some of the consequences. And I'm guessing as you look at your life, you can too. And so next week, we'll come back together and we'll talk a little more specifically about one kind of sinful fear. But in general, overcoming fear begins with understanding what the Bible teaches about it. Is your fear natural? Has it become sinful? Are you struggling with fearing the wrong things because you aren't fearing the right things? And you know, I hope at least you're encouraged that God's Word really does speak to the problems of life, because God doesn't just tell us not to fear and then let it go. He helps us understand fear so that we can live a life that honors Him, is good for us. And ultimately, He's entered our world to deal with the root cause of fears. You see, this isn't just like good advice. God has become man and entered this world to deal with the things that should frighten us most: sin, Satan, and the curse. And while it's great to have all kinds of information about fear like I'm giving you today, the reality is, if you don't have peace with God through Jesus, you should be afraid. Very afraid. Because the world is frightening. And death is frightening. Getting old is frightening. It's scary. It's hard. Not just getting old, dying. It's frightening. And what's even more frightening than dying is what comes after for you. You will stand before God, the judge, one day. And so if you're not a believer here today, I hope that your fear will drive you to Christ. Because He is the only one that can actually truly deal with fear. Because He's the only one who has dealt with the root causes of fear. And if you are a believer today, and if you have run to Christ and trusted in His promises of mercy, Jesus is more than enough to help you deal with your sinful fears. Satan, he knows the power of fear. And so if you've run to Christ and trusted in Christ, He knows that you're going to be easily tempted to get your eyes off of Christ. And He knows that fear can make you do crazy things and stop you from doing things that you should. And so, of course, He's going to want to tempt you day after day after day to allow natural fear to become sinful fear. And so I'm praying over the next couple of weeks that God will use what we see in His Word to help you see the resources that are yours in Christ, so that you can stand up to the temptation. the sinful fear. So that you and me, that we'll be a church that lives courageously, not just because it's good for us, but because it's right. And because we understand that while there are a lot of things to be scared of, in a sense, in this world, that our Savior ultimately has dealt with that which is most frightening for us. And because Jesus has conquered sin, Jesus has conquered death, because Jesus has rose again, and because we're united to Jesus, as we live our lives in this world, we don't have to be dominated by what dominates everyone else. We can be strong, and we can be courageous. Let's pray. Lord, this was a little different today. I know, going through so many different passages of the Bible, and maybe it was a little quick and overwhelming, but at the same time, God, I pray that your Spirit will use it to be helpful, because I know this isn't theory. This isn't like, oh, there are people out there that sometimes are afraid. If I meet someone who's afraid, maybe I'll know what to say. Lord, we struggle with fear. There are people in this church whose lives are controlled by fear. There are people here who do stupid things because of fear. There are people here, Lord, who don't know how to overcome fear. And so, God, I pray that today you will encourage them, that even if they didn't understand everything, one thing they know is that your word has the answers. And ultimately, the answer is Jesus. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name, make us a courageous church. Amen.